Luke chapter number 15. We're going to read today verses 11 down to the end of the chapter, verse 32. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. It says this, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege to preach your word this morning. And Lord, I do ask you, Lord, to hide me. I surrender everything that I am to you. I pray that, Lord, you would just use my mouth, my thoughts, my eyes, Lord, my heart, my mind, that it would be under the Spirit's control today. I pray that we'd all have an open heart and a listening ear to what you would have for us from your word today. Father, we love you very much, and we thank you again for our fathers, but even more for our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I just pray you'd speak to us now. If there's anyone here today that's not saved, they don't know they're going to heaven, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that each of us, Lord, would stop and listen, and Lord, be encouraged through the Word of God. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. Now, this passage of Scripture, most of us know this story. We would refer to it as the prodigal son. And being Father's Day, I want to change this title to the prodigal's father, because what a magnificent example this father is in the Word of God to us as fathers. He is, I believe, a picture of the Heavenly Father. The Lord speaks, and he starts this parable by saying, a certain man. We have put the focus on the boys in this passage of Scripture. But I kind of think that God and the Lord Jesus put the focus upon the Father. You'll find the word son mentioned 6 times, and you'll find the word father mentioned 12 times. But obviously, it's a beautiful parable of the Father's love that he has for us. And we are, unfortunately, just like the sons. that we have the issues of our lust driving our lives and being in control of our lives many times, and we do things that we should not do. Or on the contrary, like that other son who was just as wicked as the first, right? Who was sit back and enjoying all the blessings of the father in a prideful, smug way, thinking that, you know, I don't need anyone else, and look at me, look how great I am. Pride is just as evil as what the younger son did. It's all sin, and neither one was better than the other. But the fact is this, the father is a wonderful example here. And I want us to think about this today here on Father's Day to get an example of just who our Heavenly Father is, to also give us an example to us as fathers, how we should have this kind of relationship with our sons as well. Now, before we really get into this relationship aspect, I want you to think about a few things. In verse number 12, I just want to point this out about the father, that he was approachable. And he was available. And verse number 12, it says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion. This younger son, this young man, he went and he knew he could go to his dad. Amen. He knew he could go to his dad and his dad would take the time to listen to him. And that's very important for us. We need to understand that today as fathers. It's sad if you've not been in our Thursday night lessons. We've been going through some ideas about the father. But I pointed this out as a statistic that is very unfortunate, that broke my heart, that in the United States of America, the average father spends on average 6 minutes a day with their child. That's wicked. That's not right. And we should invest in our children. Our children should know that they can come to the Father. And here, when this young, even though, and I venture to say, this is Travis Burke's thought on this, but because of the relationship that they had and the obvious godliness that this father portrayed in his life, he knew something was going on with his son. Because any father would. He saw his eyes looking out the wrong direction. He saw his heart leaning towards the world, probably in words that he said and things that he chose and just things that came out of his mouth and the way that he acted. He knew something wasn't quite right, and I'm sure it burdened his heart. But when his son said, Father, he said, yes. I'm thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who is always available. Amen. He is always approachable. Yes. You can go to him today. Yes. A few years ago, my mom had a really, really bad tooth issue, and they had to have it removed, and it was going to be $500, and they didn't have the money, and she went and saw my grandfather, her father, and she said, Dad, I got a problem. I need to have my tooth removed. And he said, well, how much will it cost? And she told him, and he said, who do I write the check to? And he wrote the check to the dentist that was doing the work. And she stopped and said, Dad. And at this time, my grandpa was starting to drift into Alzheimer's, and he was, sometimes he had better days and sometimes, but he was having a good day that day. And so she normally wouldn't, but she said, Dad, I want you to know something. She said, the reason that I knew that I could come to you is because you never pushed me away.
Yes.
She said, thank you for being an approachable dad. He started singing, like my grandpa would normally do. He was singing, Draw Me Nearer, 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 Blessed Lord. And he stopped in the middle of the song. He looked at my mom and he said, Rhonda, he said, you know, the only thing that keeps me from being nearer is my wicked flesh.
That's right.
And he was probably one of the most godly men I know in my life. And my mom said, well, Dad, if your wicked flesh keeps you from getting that close to God, how miserable I must be. But my grandpa's right. The only thing that keeps us from being so close to the Father is our own wicked desires and flesh.
Yes.
This father in this story was approachable. He was available. He wasn't too busy for his son. His son could call on him, and his ear was bent towards him. Aren't you thankful that that's our Heavenly Father?
Yes.
I not only see that he was approachable and available, but also he was aware of what was going on. And he did what was right. It says, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. and he divided unto them his living. Now he split it. He gave one portion to the one brother and one to this brother. And he gave it to them. He was treated them equally, fairly. And I'm just passing by this, but praise the Lord, God is not a respecter of persons. There's not a few in here that he loves more than a few others. He loves us all the same.
Yes.
He was accepting. And I do not mean he was accepting of sin. Matter of fact, if you follow the story, he never condoned anything that the younger son did. He never helped the younger son. He never enabled the younger son. But when the son came back and wanted to get right, he was a forgiving man.
Amen.
Yes. It says there in verse number 17, and he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This son knew that his father would forgive.
Yes.
Now, he wasn't expecting to be treated like he once was. That's called repentance. That's called humility. That shows this younger man's heart. But he knew his father would receive him. One can only imagine he probably went to the door, whoever he was working for, sitting in that pig pen for, probably knocked on his door, filthy, disgusting, knowing this other guy that hired him to do this dirty, nasty job, said, sir, I quit. And the guy probably laughed. Where are you going? I'm going home. That guy probably said, do you know what you did to your dad? You wasted everything he gave you. You're sitting here, you're covered in mud and filth. You're going back to your dad now. He'll never accept you. The younger man said, you don't know my father.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't care where you've been, how far you've fallen, or what mess you've gotten yourself into. There's a Father in heaven that if you will come with the same repentance and same humility, he will forgive you too. He is an accepting Father. I also like this. He's an awaiting Father. This boy started heading home. He's practicing a speech. He's, I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father didn't chase him around, didn't condone his sin, didn't enable him to continue in a wicked lifestyle. But when he saw his son coming home, and by the way, he wasn't in the house somewhere. He wasn't busy about. He was waiting. He was looking. And when he saw him coming, he ran to him. He fell on him and had compassion on him and kissed his cheek and rejoiced that his son had come home. What a father we have. That's our heavenly Father. The Bible says if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. You take that step to him in a heart that is repentant and humble, and God will come to you, and a relationship can be restored. Praise God for a heavenly Father that waits for us. He's patient for us. He is also, and understand, he is aware. Even when he's waiting for us to get right, you say, but you don't understand. Some may say this. You don't understand how bad of choices I've made.
Right. That's right.
I may not, but God knows.
Yes.
And you know what? He's awaiting.
Yes.
And he just wants you to come to him.
Right.
This man, this father, was aware of what his son did. So how do you know he went out and did all the things he did? Because remember when he came home, the older brother, the dad went out to talk to him because he wouldn't come in. And the older brother shared. It was talked about at home what the younger brother was doing. The older brother was very upset. Like, what, you're having this rejoicing? Don't you know what he did? He spent everything you gave him on harlots and riotous living. He lived a wicked lifestyle. And you're rejoicing that he's come home? The father knew. It was talked about in the home what this younger son was doing. They knew what was going on, but the father still welcomed him home.
Amen. Yes.
Our God never condones sin. He hates sin.
Yes.
Our Father's holy. Our Father will not enable sin. He will not tempt man to sin. James promises that. Yes. Our God is a holy God. And while He does not accept sin, if you will come to Him, I don't care. Even the Apostle Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Spirit of God, said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Yes. But God forgave me.
Yes.
And God will forgive you too today.
Yes.
He's waiting. He's aware. He's approving. And praise the Lord, He is affirming. He will rebuild our lives. The son started to say, I'll be one of your servants. No. That ain't going to happen, son.
Right.
Understand this. The Heavenly Father, God in heaven, He does not seek to make slaves out of His people.
Right.
He has made you His child.
Right. Yes.
You are His son. It doth not yet appear what we shall be.
Yes.
But when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yes.
We are right now God's child.
Yes.
If you're saved, and you've gone to the Lord in that repentance and faith, and look to Jesus Christ as your Savior, that moment when I was 14 years old, there in my father's bedroom, sitting there on the bed, he sharing scriptures with me, that day I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That day the Lord saved me, and I became one of the child of God.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
What a thrill. That God would do that for me, because I don't deserve it, neither do you.
That's right.
This son didn't deserve. He deserved to be treated like a slave.
Yes.
But that's not the way our Father is.
Amen.
God wants us to enjoy a relationship with the Father.
Yes.
A close relationship with the Father. And here in this passage of Scripture, I just want to point out three things here about this relationship the Father had with His sons. Now follow this with me real quick. Number one, it was a continuing relationship.
Yes.
A continuing relationship. This father-child relationship, it continued. Now listen to me. Despite what the son did.
That's right.
Amen.
Now their fellowship was broken. But the boy never quit being his son. The enjoyment and the joy of that relationship wasn't there. But when he came home, the father said there, in verse number 22, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my what?
Son.
It was a son. It wasn't a guy. It wasn't a servant, it was a son.
Amen.
The relationship that the father had with the son here was a continuing relationship.
Yeah.
And by that I mean this, all right? And I'm thankful for this, and that there's nothing, if you're a child of God today, there's nothing that can take away that relationship. Don't get me wrong, you can really mess up the fellowship.
Yes.
But you are still God's child. Once saved, simply put, always saved. We believe in eternal security. That boy went to a far country. He didn't talk to the father. He didn't have a relationship and enjoy that relationship with the father. But when he saw him coming, he didn't say, here comes a boy. When he saw him coming, he didn't say, here comes a man. Here comes a loser. He looked and said, that's my son.
Amen.
And I'm thankful today that our Father, nothing will ever destroy that relationship if you're saved between you and the Father.
Amen.
He loves you. That relationship is unmovable by my actions. To our earthly fathers here, love your children. Tell them you love them. And always have a heart for your children. it would break my heart in more ways than I could ever express if my children turned away from the Lord. It would break my heart. And they may, I God forbid, don't think they would, but even if they spat on me, moved to the other side of the world, they're still my children.
That's right.
And I would never quit praying for them,
right.
And I would never quit loving them. I would not enable them. They wouldn't enjoy fellowship. They wouldn't be able to call from the other side of the world and say, hey, I need $10. But they'd still be my children.
Right.
And the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, it's continuing. I failed way too much when I look at the Heavenly Father. But the fact is this, that I need to be faithful just like the Heavenly Father is faithful. There's been times when I've showed a lack of faith, but He never has. There's been times when I've been mean, but God has always been kind. There's times when I've been angry, but God has always been patient.
Yes.
We need a continual relationship that the Father, again, would never condone sin, never cooperate into sin or enable it. But He was still their Father.
Right.
And I hope you're not getting the wrong idea from me. I'm not giving excuses for sin. God hates sin.
That's right.
And it destroys the fellowship that we should have.
Yes, it does.
But my friend, He still loves you. And I'm saying it for this point, that maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, the Father, in the same way as this boy did. Why don't you come back today?
Yes.
With a humble heart and a repentant heart and say, Father, I've sinned. You know what you'll find in the Father? A forgiving, waiting Father who just wants to restore your life.
Yes.
It was a continued relationship. Then I also want you to notice that it was a cultivated relationship. It was a cultivated relationship. And I know that because here, these are not 7-year-old boys. These are young men. They're young men, we know, unfortunately, because of the lifestyle that they chose. But they're young men. But when He came to him, I say a cultivated relationship because obviously there was a closeness there. The boy didn't walk up and say, hey, Jim. It bugs me to death when children call their parents first names. If you do that, you shouldn't.
Right.
That was free. You're welcome, right? But when He came to him, He said, Father. His heart wasn't right. Sin was on the horizon. But their relationship was special.
Right.
He said, Father, if you're going to have, and I say this, men, the right kind of relationship with your children, you have to work on it. It has to be cultivated. Just like Brother Fountain's been working out there, has a nice garden, all right? Try not to stomp through it, all right? Please, all right? But it's out there. But it's not just happened. It's taken a lot of work. The ground had to be tilled, and someone did that. Had to be seeded. It has to be watered. It has to be weeded. And all these things are going on and expecting of a fruit. And the fact is this, that if you want a good relationship with your children, it has to be cultivated. We go through different stages. The baby's born and you love that baby. You hold that baby. You take that baby with you places and you know, not that you would say this, but you're proud of that child. You're showing that baby off. Everybody oohs and awes over that baby. And that baby doesn't have a choice. It goes wherever you want to go. You buckle it in that little seat and you carry it everywhere you go. It's there with you. But then that child grows. Goes from a baby to a young child. Now we're at a different stage. We're cultivating this relationship. We're teaching that child how to behave. We remind that child when we go to someone's house, now you sit still. Don't talk out of control. Respond to people respectfully, please. You've all had these conversations, right? And you teach the child, just be quiet, be polite. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And we teach these things because now they're in a different stage. They're in a child. You're cultivating this relationship. They became a teenager. And you take them out. You have a good time with them. You speak to them. And you can talk about the Bible and God. You can talk about the things of the Lord. You can talk about their life, entertainment. Have some fun with them. Do things with them. It's sad now, I can't beat my kids at anything anymore, but I still like playing with them. We played a game last night. We sat around the table. I lost. Like last place lost. It was terrible, right? And Hope actually won. Yeah, right? But I loved it. The laughter, talking. It's a different stage, but you're knitting your hearts together. You're spending this time with them. You go run, get something to eat together, sit there and talk, but then they become an adult. It's a whole nother stage. When you get to this stage, this is a stage that we're entering in my home. But you understand that they are, maturing, and they are making some independent decisions, and well, they should be. And we're talking and we're sharing a heart, and there's I'm still father. After Thursday's sermon, my two girls have said repeatedly, they keep calling me daddy father now. I'm good with it, all right? They're a different stage. But there'll come a day when they're all on their own. And still their father.
Amen. Right.
I went yesterday and the wind blew a bunch of stuff down in my dad's yard. And I went over yesterday and we put everything back up and we planted everything back where it should be and filled up his bird feeders. And my dad watches birds now. It's so weird. I never thought my dad would do something like that, but he loves it. But we did that, and I went in and sat and talked with them. It's a different stage. He physically couldn't go out and pick those things up and re-put the post in and stuff like that. Why'd I do it? I was bored. I had nothing to do. No? Pretty busy this time of year. That's my father.
That's right. Amen.
And I respect him and I love him.
Right.
And because he cultivated a relationship, we're at a point now where I want to do those things. Right. I can't tell you how many times I got in trouble because I didn't want to take out the trash when I was young. To me, just keep pushing it down. We'll do it later, right? And there's stuff flowing everywhere on the garbage can. Any other parents dealing with that, right? But now, every time I go into the house, I always leave taking out the trash. They've never asked me to. Because my dad and mom cultivated a relationship,
right.
To where now I want to do those things.
Right.
Dads, you have to work on that relationship. These boys, despite their poor choices in life, he was their father.
Right.
He did, to what I can see, right? And I would just share this with you real quick, and I mentioned this on Thursday. After we have spent time with them and cultivated this relationship, here's the fact. And some of you older kids / young adults, listen to what I'm about to say. You're at a point now where you're going to be as close to your parents as you choose to be. I shared this quote on Thursday. Someone else wrote it, but he said this: each disciple was as close to Jesus as he chose to be. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has no favorites. He's not a respecter of persons. But John considered himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Where'd you always find John? right there next to the Lord, leaning upon his breast. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, this is your special seat. No, we know he didn't do that, right? But John chose to be close to him. You, everybody listen to me, you are as close to the Heavenly Father as you choose to be.
Yes.
Because he welcomes a close relationship with you. He longs for a close relationship with you. He's done everything he can to have a close relationship with you.
Yes.
Now it's your job. It's your part. What will you do? This relationship he had was a continuing. Obviously, it was a cultivated relationship. But I close with this. It was a close relationship. It was a close relationship. And the end of a continuing, and I say continuing and saying this, and I hate to have to even mention this, but in the world in which we live in, the boys knew Dad would be there.
Right.
It makes me sick when I hear about men who walk away from their families. So man, if that ever crosses your mind, get right with God. Get things fixed in your home. Because it's a coward who walks away from doing what's right. But this man, those boys knew Dad would be there. Obviously, it was a cultivated relationship, and they enjoyed a close relationship. I said Thursday, an intimate, close relationship with the Father is not a luxury. It is a necessity. God wants us to have a close relationship with him. I say that because I mentioned this Thursday, and I don't mean to repeat, they just go close together. You know, you hear people talk about, boy, that person sure has a close relationship with God. It must be nice. They don't have a privilege you don't have.
That's right.
They just choose to have it. You know, it's like some people say, well, I just can't afford it. I ain't got the money that they have. That may be true. But when it comes to a relationship with God, one person doesn't have a privilege over another person. He wants to have that relationship with everyone. You just have to choose to have that relationship. Spend the time with God. Spend time with the Father. Draw nigh to him. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we want to have this relationship with God, if we want to have this close, intimate relationship with God, we have to make the choice to be right with him. We have to make the choice. Now, unfortunately, we have earthly fathers that maybe we may be choosing to do right, that they maybe even push away. And I know that's out there, and it breaks my heart. That's not the way God intends. But for every man in this auditorium, listen to me. Be welcoming to your children. Love on your children. Spend time with your children. Be available for your children. Be aware of what's going on in your children's life. Pray for your children. And have and do all you can to have a close relationship with them. Because that's what our Heavenly Father does. The question is, how bad do you want this close relationship? You see, both these boys got sidetracked. One, because of his own selfish lust. And one, just because his self-righteous life. One said, I want to go have fun. One said, look how good I am.
Yes.
Both are wrong.
Yes.
Don't be like those sons. I know there's a lost world out there that's involved in a lot of wicked things. Let's pray for their salvation.
Yes.
Maybe you strayed away from God today, and my friend, you can come back to him. In the same repentant heart, God, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. But God is a forgiving God. If you're lost today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please come today. We'll take the Word of God. We'll show you how you can know you're going to heaven. We'll do our best to answer any questions from the Word of God. If you are a child of God, praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord for a Heavenly Father that is all these things. But now answer this question for me. How close are you to the Father? Because that's all you. That's all you. That's all me. How close I am with the Father is my choice. And at least the first young son, he came back and said, "Father, forgive me." But the one that always sat in church with the nice clothes on, smug and proud, in his own self-righteousness, I'm not given much hope here that he changed his heart. His dad told him, "We should be glad and rejoice. Your brother was dead and he's alive again. He's lost and he's found."
Yes.
Period. End of chapter.
Yes.
Don't get so blinded in your own self-righteousness that you don't think you have needs to. Let's run to God.
Yes.
Let's run to the Father.
Yes.
Today's a day about showing fathers respect and honor. I thank the Lord for my father. It's a privilege to be a father. I want to take the example and be that kind of father to my children. But more importantly, there's a Heavenly Father that wants a close relationship with you. I said Thursday in closing, for some reason we live in a world today, and even in our churches today, that we see Jesus as being loving, and he is, and kind, and he is. But we see God as being distant. God as being untouchable, impersonal. And that is completely contrary to what the Word of God says.
That's right.
I'm not being blasphemous. I'm not being disrespectful. God could have chose any name he wanted to be called upon. But the name he chose was Father. Because that is the relationship he desires to have with you. Is a close, intimate relationship. God help us. He is faithful. God help us to have a great relationship with the Father.